I'm Phil Nee for WRCO Sports. Yesterday at American Legion Baseball, the Post 308-220 Grizzlies of Gaze Mills and Riverdale played a doubleheader. The Grizzlies won the first game 5-4. Riverdale's 18U team won the second game by a final of 11-1. Chase Chitwood had two RBIs and Carson Kenyon three, helping Riverdale to a victory in game number two. Elsewhere, it was the Viroqua Legion team over Superior Reds American Legion 5-0, the final score. In home talent baseball games, Reedsburg shut out Cazenovia 10-0 and Sauk Prairie 11-5 over Wisconsin Dells. There's home talent action this weekend, including our featured broadcast, Blanchardville at Arena, Sunday at 1 o'clock on FM 100.9 and WRCO.com. Richland Center Church League had some makeup games last night. Church of the Nazarene down St. Mary's for the second time this week, 19-14. Ryan Gaston was 4-for-5. Jared McCullum, 4-for-4 with a grand slam. Benny Green scored four runs for St. Mary's. Stephanie Sherman and Keisha Frawley made highlight reel catches on the infield. Elsewhere, Free Methodist top Boscobel Assembly of God, 14-6. Braden Burns, Andy Niemeyer, along with Dennis Hassel and Marlon Clark, each raced base safely three times and scored a combined nine runs. Richland Baptist Temple 1, Bethel Lutheran, and Boscobel Assembly of God all accepted forfeits on the night. Regularly scheduled games resume on Tuesday, July 16th. 7 o'clock, Richland Baptist Temple 2 will play Boscobel Assembly of God, and the Mission will umpire. At 8:15 next Tuesday on the East, the Mission plays St. Mary's. Richland Baptist Temple 2 will umpire. On the West Diamond at 7, Bethel Lutheran takes on Church of the Nazarene. Free Methodist will umpire. And at 8:15, Free Methodist plays Richland Baptist Temple 1. Church of the Nazarene will umpire. For more information about Church League softball, visit the league's website at rcchurchleague.com. The Simon Sharks swim team faced off against Boscobel and Prairie du Chien last night at Boscobel. The Sharks were low in numbers, placing third as a team, but individually, swimmers swam very well. Leading the way for the team with two individual first-place finishes was Elsa Norte in the backstroke and long freestyle. Adding first-place finishes were Morgan Worthington in butterfly, Brooklyn Worthington in breaststroke, and Lauren Chambers in breaststroke. The 8 and 9 girls relay team composed of Harper Adler, Elsa Norte, Emma Lee Salas, and Brooklyn Worthington won both the medley and freestyle relays. The Sharks are off to Prairie du Chien Saturday for the conference invitational. On the state of Wisconsin scene, Pirates rookie Paul Skeens allowed no hits through seven innings in Thursday afternoon's 1-0 Pittsburgh victory. Jake Bowers led off the Brewer eighth with a single off reliever Colin Holderman, but closer Aroldis Chapman finished off the shutout. Aaron Savale took the loss despite giving up just one run on six hits before he left in the seventh inning. Milwaukee lost a home series for the first time in the last 10. The Washington Nationals come to town for a three-game weekend series, which starts tonight. Freddy Peralta will be on the hill for Milwaukee. It was Cincinnati over Colorado 8-1, the Mets 7, Washington nothing. Philadelphia 5-1 over the Dodgers, and Arizona 1-0 against Atlanta. In the American League, Detroit 10, Cleveland 1, Boston 7-0 over Oakland, Tampa Bay 5, the Yankees 4, Seattle 11-0 over the Angels. Interleague play, Toronto 5-3 over San Francisco, the Cubs 8, Baltimore nothing, Houston 6-3 over Miami. Celtics star Jason Tatum says his team won this season's NBA championship thanks to the Bucks. He's talking about the trade during the offseason that sent point guard Drew Holiday to Boston. Holiday is being called the Celtics' glue guy and best perimeter defender, something Milwaukee missed during a disappointing season. Holiday is 34 years old, but showed no signs of slowing down during the postseason. And former Badger standout Greg Steemsma is joining the UW coaching staff. Steemsma is the new director of player development, according to an announcement this week. He's a native of Randolph, Wisconsin. The 6'11", 260-pound center played 95 games for the Badgers and another 203 games during four NBA seasons. He also played international professional basketball. Steemsma will be expected to help with development of the Badgers' big men. I'm Phil Nee with an update on sports. It continues in just a moment.
Hauling, fencing, hunting, as sure as real work requires breaking a sweat, John Deere Gator utility vehicles work as tough and play as hard as you do. Find your Gator at Hillsboro Equipment, because you don't need just any side-by-side. You need a cargo box that performs under stress and extreme conditions, and an engine that hustles with or without a full load in the back. Run with us on a Gator UTV from Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, or Slama's Lawn and Sport.
It's a Friday. That means Mike Clemens talking Wisconsin sports, brought to you by Julie Karen State Farm. Good Friday. How you doing, Mike?
Very good. How are you? I guess it's going to be a hot one today.
Yeah, sounds like it, all weekend long. Yesterday, the Brewers 1-0, near no-hitter, unable to get much going against the 22-year-old Pirates pitcher, right?
Yeah, this kid, Paul Skeens. He's 22 from Fullerton, California. And the Pirates drafted him last year, and they put him in May, and he's like the hottest young pitcher in baseball. And he's that old-fashioned, you remember the old Don Drysdale, you know, big dude like that? He's 6'6", 235 pounds. With his mustache on the mound, to me, he looked like he was 32, not 22. And what a sharp kid. The first day when the Pirates rolled in on Tuesday and pregame, he had talked to one of the guys from the Pirates, Rowdy Tellez, a former Brewer. He said, I want to meet Bob Uecker. And so Rowdy took him over, and so Bob was standing there, and so Rowdy introduced him, and then the kid got out of baseball and gave it to Uke, who signed it, you know, Mr. Baseball, that kind of thing. And you're standing around and watching this and saying, that's a pretty sharp kid. And who's that? Well, he's going to start on Thursday. He gets on the mound, and he's got the fastest average right now, like 99.9 miles. He threw on 105, clocked at 105.
Wow.
He's got this tremendous fastball. Yesterday, the Brewers are going into this, like, do everything you can to challenge those pitches. If you can, make them throw strikes, if it is a strike, connect and foul. So they got him up to, like, 63 pitches after three innings, trying to wear him out. And then the kid made adjustments. He changed up a little bit of his motion and his pitch selection and started hitting the corners and all that. And he got through the seventh inning over 100 pitches. And then they pull him. They don't let these kids get a chance to, have a nine-inning complete game and get an official no-hitter. But he was a no-hitter through the seven innings before they brought him in. And Christian Yelich was 0-for-4. And afterward just said, he's the real deal. And he's going to be with Christian Yelich and William Contreras when they go to the All-Star game on Tuesday night. And the word this morning is he's like the biggest story in baseball this morning because of that performance, that he could likely start for the Nationals in the All-Star game. He's 0-for-6, or 6-0 right now, undefeated, and he's appeared in 11 games. So if you were at that game yesterday, you saw some history. The start to his numbers are equal to a guy named Nolan Ryan, who's in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, heard of him. That kind of overshadows Tobias Myers of the Brewers. He's had a good start.
Had a great start the other night. And that, that's an interesting story there, too, in terms of, Pat Murphy. When you've heard these clips that I play of Pat Murphy, what do you think of him? Do you think he's snarky or...
No, I don't at all. I think he's got a good sense of humor, kind of tongue-in-cheek sometimes, maybe.
He does, because, if I got you a press pass and you follow me in, first of all, he does his pregame press. People may not know, these managers, they talk to us every day before the game. Like if it starts at 7:10, they talk to us at 4:15, just before batting practice gets started. And most managers, like Council, they do it on the bench of their dugout while they can sort of watch what's going on. And for some reason, Murphy wants to do it in his office with the door closed. So it's like if you walk out of the dugout, it's all baseball now. You know, he wants the players to focus on batting practice or warming up or whatever. And he probably doesn't want to see himself getting all this attention with a bunch of microphones and cameras around him for 15 minutes before the game. So we go. You, if you went into his office, he'd say, "I'm sorry, who are you?" And then you say, "Well, I'm Phil. I'm from this station." "Oh, nice shoes, Phil. Your shoes untied there, pal. Did your mom teach you how to do it?" You know, so you, at first you would think, dude, just start taking questions, right? And leave me out of this. But he would do everything he could to make you feel awkward. And then when you go the second day or the third, he'd say, "Hey, Phil, how you doing? Welcome. How's it going, man?" And then you'd watch him do that to the next new guy, right? And now you know it's coming. And now you can't help but laugh because you know what's coming. And he does that to the players, too. And that's the way he gets you in. He starts teasing you. Welcome to the club. Keeps it light. Now, he did something the other day that was more in the inspirational column. They'd come back from a road trip. They'd lost 4 out of 7 or so. And now they're home against the Pirates, a team that is struggling to get to 500. And they get clobbered at home. 12-2, one of the worst losses of the year. Pirates got 5 home runs. One of them was a grand slam. So after the game, he's thinking, what do we do for tomorrow? And so he said, I don't know. He told us the next day. The word undaunted came to me. He said, is that the right word to use? He's asking these writers. Because when we walked into the clubhouse on Wednesday after that bad loss, if you looked in the players' lockers, they all had on a hanger one of these Brewer Blue T-shirts with gold script writing that said the word undaunted across the chest. So he gets out the dictionary. He says, oh, yeah. He says, not intimidated in the face of a challenge. Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's the word I wanted. Well, you know, the players seemed to get it. They had their best game of the year, one of their best ones. They beat the Pirates 9-0. As you mentioned, Tobias Myers had another really good performance out there. A rookie, and they flipped it around. But then yesterday they ran into those Paul Skeens, you know, this buzzsaw, and lost 1-0. So that's the first home series that they've lost since late April. They'd won 9 consecutive home series at American Family Field.
The Cubs have won 4 in a row. Should we start to worry about them?
Well, they're finally getting their act together. I mean, you know, people thought that they would be, I don't think anybody thought the Brewers would be in first place by the All-Star break. But, yeah, they won 4. They did. The Baltimore Orioles were one of the best teams over in the American League, and the Cubs just swept them in Baltimore. Beat them last night 8-0. They've won their last 4 in a row. They've won the last 6 of their 7. And so I called a buddy of mine who I used to work with is now on the Score in Chicago, which is the home of the Cubs. And I talked about what Murphy's doing and the way the Brewers clubhouse is right now. And I said, you know, what's wrong with the Cubs? Because I said, the last time the Cubs were at AmFam Field and they lost again on Sunday, I said, I was in counsel's office over in the visitor's side, which is kind of weird, but he looked like, I mean, his eyes were wide open. It looked like this was the first time he'd ever managed a team in the majors ever. And he was out of answers. And I said, that Cubs clubhouse, it was not only dead after the game, it was dead before the games. And, you know, what changed? He said, well, you know, they finally got a couple of guys back and all that. He said, you know what? When I look at the Brewers, they're not afraid of bringing a player from anywhere. You know, the Caribbean, Dominican Republic, you know, Nicaragua. And he said, I think that the Brewers simply continue to have one of the better scouting departments in baseball. They search the world for the best players, and they're not afraid to bring them in. And I said, you know what? You're right. That's some of the difference. That's where they keep on finding these pitchers, outfielders, and guys who perform, you know, making their major league debuts this year as they go through all those injuries.
Right, and pick up a couple of journeyman pitchers, which, you know, I guess maybe the pitcher yesterday deserved a better fate for the Brewers too, didn't he?
Yeah, Savale, Aaron, he only gave up 6 hits, but he was up against the hottest pitcher, you know, in the majors right now. Skeens kid, he's got the best start since Nolan Ryan, Hall of Famer Nolan Ryan.
Crazy. Slinger Nationals, I guess, last but not least, that's a big story here in Wisconsin. The guy who won was disqualified. What happened in that?
Andrew, this is the Slinger Speedway in Slinger, Wisconsin. Dale Earnhardt raced there. You know, Dick Trickle was a famous guy. There's Alan Kowicki, the late Alan Kowicki. Stock car racing, Tuesday nights, Saturday nights. And so Andrew Morrissey has been a consistent winner. He's sort of in the peak of his career. He takes the checkered flag. And so everybody goes home. I got a buddy named Lance Allen on TV. He covers these games. And, okay, Morrissey's the winner. All right. And then about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, Dave Calla is a guy who covers racing for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, does a great job. He posts, hey, we got a new winner. Morrissey got disqualified. So Brad Muller, who's been out there for years, is the winner. And they got pictures of him. They informed him a couple hours after the race, hey, guess what? Morrissey's car, when they did the post-race measurements, he had some stuff wrong with the standards of his body, the standard measurements. And, you know, it's not like he's cheating. It's just maybe it's a mistake by a crew or something. But Muller, he broke down in tears because he says, I've been coming here for 30 years, and I finally not only win a race here, but, you know, I win a nationals like that. So there's always that kind of drama going on out there. I once was a disc jockey in Milwaukee, about 25, 26 years old, and the boss came to me and said, hey, Slinger Speedway, they're having their DJ race, and we'd like to send you. You want to go? I'm like, what? Here, quick, sign this disclaimer paperwork. So you walk up there, you got your station shirt on, and they escort you back to the pits. And here's some guy who probably has got a factory job, but he's put thousands of dollars into building the stock car and painting it up and maybe getting some sponsors. And then they give you a helmet. They give you a suit. They show you how to crawl in through the window. And now you're in this cage, you know, behind the wheel is open-air stock car. And then you're actually driving out onto the track with 10, 12 other cars. I mean, that gets your heart going, man. And, you know, they drop the green flag and you're behind this car with no warm-ups, just, you know, a couple of warm-up laps. And we go, like, for 10 or 15 laps. So the first year I did it, I finished about 8th or 9th because it wasn't until I got out of the car and the race was over I realized, you know, I've been driving since I was 16, and you drive defensively. Right? You know? And so it's like, if I ever do this again, well, I did it for a couple more years after that, you have to flip a switch in your brain. You have to drive offensively. You got to be a jerk. Cut people off, you know, and put your, you know, the pedal to the metal. But they let all these novices out there. One guy who was out there was our sales manager, Dick Williams. He gets into this guy's car, puts on the helmet, the suit, drives it around. He's driving around like a jerk. He took it into the wall, smashed up the whole right side of the car.
I was going to say, then these guys that have worked so hard to build these cars, yeah, they got to be a little bit mad, aren't they?
Oh, I couldn't, you know, he was kind of a prima donna. He just got out, shrugged his shoulders and said, sorry, man. Handed him his helmet, took out the suit and walked away. Like, dude, you just cost him thousands of dollars. Yeah.
Good stuff. Mike, as always, thanks so much for joining us today.